Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Yes, you are, once again, with Andrew David James.
Who? I've heard of him.
Since Paul Strohle is in the fair city of Chicago working at the moment.
You think he misses us, Michael?
I think so. A little bit.
I don't get any longing emails from him saying how much he misses us.
He doesn't write those kinds of emails. That's right. I don't think. I mean, on the longing side of things, I don't think so.
But good news, though. He'll be back next week and here with you, so that'll be a great thing
for audiences. And in the interim, we've certainly had the pleasure of having you on with us for the last few shows. So, Andrew,
I've
thank
enjoyed
you
it.
For everything you're doing.
Thank you for the hospitality.
Absolutely. So before we get into this, why don't we thank our sponsors?
Indeed, let's do that. We'd like to thank, first of all, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent, agents, as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
And we'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending us their support to our live arts calendar.
That's right. Michael, what a show today.
I know, right?
We have Adam and Eve direct from the
yes.
Garden of Eden
yes.
in the studio. They're both wearing their little laurel wreaths around their special areas.
We get it all
what
here.
What a show we have today.
And what's more, you'll be able to see them, ladies and gentlemen, in the form of Broadway Musical Theater's Kevin McMahon and Misty Cotton, stars of Cabrillo Music Theater's revival of Stephen Schwartz's epic Children of Eden, in the Fred Cavalli Theater at the beautiful Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza, April 8th through the 17th.
That's right, and that's not all. In just a couple of minutes, we're going to be speaking to the Lewis Wilkenfield, producer and artistic director extraordinaire of Cabrillo Music Theater. He's also directing Children of Eden, of course. But first, Michael.
Yes.
Michael.
Sir.
Michael.
Yes. How was your weekend?
Oh, you got to it before I did. Very well done. Very well done. I had a great weekend. Of course, a holiday weekend.
Yeah, Easter.
So I grabbed a dear friend. Her husband is a buddy of mine from college, and he now preaches down at Sherman Oaks Press. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed his beautiful wife and took her out to see our buddy Rick Siegel in Fishers
yeah,
of Men.
Yeah, you did. He was just on the show, of
he
course,
was great.
A few weeks back.
What a performance.
Remember him from the Partridge Family?
Yes. He was great. What a performance he gave.
Did he? Wow. Really?
I mean, well, I tell you, it was shocking at times because it's a one-man show and he plays all six characters.
Wow.
But, I mean, his craft, he just exemplified commitment. His craft was really extraordinary in the show.
So. Well, what a very special way to spend that holiday,
that's
right?
That's right. Tough to see that show any other time of the year on the life of Peter and his martyrdom. Easter worked well, but I wouldn't want to go see it during your birthday celebrations.
I would serious. Imagine so.
That's, yeah, it was a serious subject matter, and he did a great job delivering it.
Who cooked?
Who cooked?
Easter dinner.
A friend called the Breakfast Cafe.
Oh,
now
nice.
You got to understand, I have a 7-year-old and a 5-year-old, and my little boy was wearing a bow tie for Easter, and of course I had a bow tie on too. By about 5 minutes after being in the car that morning, that bow tie was untied, his shirt was out of his pants. We did not look ready to go to Laurie's out there, so we headed out to a small cafe called the Breakfast Cafe, and we did a nice laid-back Easter brunch, had a good time, and just chatted and enjoyed the day.
So, how nice.
How about you? What did you do?
You know, in and around various theater situations, I'm in the process of getting the Full Monty open for 3D Theatricals.
Okay, could you just say the Full Monty open again for me? I'd really appreciate
it. The Full
that.
Monty
nice.
Open.
Yeah. And our ratings just skyrocketed all throughout
good.
Los Angeles.
Good. We'll have to do more shows like that. For 3D Theatricals down in Orange County. Excited that we open on the 16th for the press opening down at Redondo Beach Performing Arts Center.
Should be a
and then
great
bicycle
show.
Over to the Fullerton Plummer Auditorium on for a 23rd April opening there through May 8th. But this is how I spent my Halloween, an Easter egg hunt.
You spent Halloween doing an Easter
Halloween,
egg hunt?
Halloween, sorry.
Oh, come on. That's
another
the story.
Happy Easter Day. A little Easter egg hunt with my pups. And on behalf of Beagles and Buddies, which is the foundation that I adopted them from, and it's a rescue foundation.
Fantastic.
And, you know, we were talking about photographs. There was a photograph taken here in the studio earlier. And you know how hard it is to get a photo of a child doing something special, but a dog is really, really tough.
That's true.
I showed them, of course, what the eggs were, and so they could smell them, so the treat was in there, and then planted them everywhere. And my little one, the littlest one, the girl, Riley, at 5 years old, excuse me, at 3 years old, and Cooper's six, she got every single egg.
Wow.
In the hunt.
Wow.
And he got nothing.
That sounds a lot like my little girl and my little boy.
He tried. Yeah. But he didn't make it. And she was speaking to him, I swear to God. I got this photograph. I did post it on Facebook and showed the two of them. And she's like talking in his ear, and you see all of the eggs that she found next to her. And I posted, I said, she's apologizing to her brother Cooper because she got all the eggs, and better luck next time. But it was a very unusual, special moment. You see those kinds of things
That's
happen
amazing.
Between animals, which is nice when you can capture it on film. So
That's
then I went out for dinner, Mexican food of all things.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
At a place called Casita del Campo in Silver Lake. Restaurant that's probably been there longer than any of us have been
Amazing.
Alive. Yeah.
Good food?
So it was fun. Very good food.
I'm
yeah.
glad.
Nice Great. Atmosphere. At any rate, we should get on with this, right?
You don't think they want to hear me talk anymore?
I think they would love
you
to
think
hear
they want to
talk.
Hear an extraordinarily talented artist, someone who has brought some of my favorite shows to not only the theater, but to audiences all throughout Thousand Oaks and across Los Angeles. The gentleman, of course, I'm talking about is Lewis Wilkenfeld from Cambrillo. He has produced not only 40 shows throughout 10 seasons as the artistic director of Cambrillo Music Theater, but under his leadership, they have garnered 50 Los Angeles Ovation Theater Award nominations and had 8 wins. As a director, his Cabrillo shows have included A Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Forum, which we just saw and loved, Mary Poppins, which of course was fantastic, Cinderella, The King and I, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers, Disney's Beauty and the Beast, and The Music Man. He was also directing 9 productions in the past for LA's prestigious Musical Theater Guild. But he is here today, as we all are, to talk about a current change in the state of Cabrillo Music Theater by way of a recent announcement that the company will have to suspend their 2016-2017 season of shows. Ladies and gentlemen, a tireless champion of all things musical theater, please welcome the one and only Mr. Lewis Wilkenfeld. Hello, Lewis. Welcome.
Hey there.
Hey,
wow.
Lewis.
Your audience is going crazy,
God.
Lewis.
There you go.
I'm beating them back at the fences, my friend.
Yes.
They won't leave us alone.
That intro just reminds me of how old I am.
Gee, you're not that old. Come on now.
Lewis, thank you for being here today. Obviously, we have a serious subject to talk about, but I want to be sure that we get to this amazing show you have coming up. Let's start with the hard stuff. Can you tell me a little bit about the state of Cabrillo and what's going on?
Yes. As it's been announced, we're suspending production at the end of our current season, which is after Children of Eden and The Little Mermaid. It'll be after that. We're unable at this moment to move ahead with our next season of shows. We are hopeful that a benefactor will step up. The board of directors is working really hard. They are the heroes here. They have had secret meetings, and they have had they got together on Easter weekend, and they are really scrambling, trying to go above and beyond to do their best for Cabrillo. And you know, I really hope for the very best. But it is a difficult situation, and it's been quite a journey the last 10 days because we've had this outpouring of support from literally across the country. An agent in New York who I never met, who I was dealing with on a Little Mermaid contract, heard about it and wrote to me, and I was like, oh my God, everybody's so supportive. It's just been very sweet and saddened, and I think that's a hard thing for everybody to deal with.
Lewis, this is Michael, do you think that the area, the region of Thousand Oaks and the surrounding communities are just not theater savvy enough, or there is a, I mean, I certainly know there is a very true following to your shows to some degree, but such a beautiful big theater like the Fred Cavalli, which is 1,800 seats, requires a lot of attention from the patrons of the valley there in Thousand Oaks.
Right. So, you know what? I don't think that that's the problem. I think there's a few challenges, and one is that we've always been stymied in the marketing area. We've never, I don't think, had a really strong marketing push. I know that there's people who live within a few blocks of the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza that don't even know it's there. Mm-hmm. And the folks who run the venue will agree to that. I think we did a poll during our last show of our audiences and found that we draw a lot from the West Valley, an area that we just haven't had the financial resources to get to. I do think we face a challenge with the fact that there's two theater companies in the venue that they bring in some tours, and I think there's some product misidentification. We get a lot of customers who don't know which company is which, and that does a little bit of damage to us. I think it's a combination of things, but I would say our audience is incredibly loyal, and I think there's more out there, and I would have liked to get an opportunity to get to them, and I still hope we will.
One of the things I'd like to say is, as I listen to what you talk about, so many people focus on good theater in Los Angeles. And, of course, Cabrillo does amazing theater, truly Broadway-quality shows. But that's not the only thing Cabrillo does. You do outreach programs to young students. You bring in school groups. And I know that you help support smaller theater companies as well. Isn't that correct?
Well, yes, we like to. I mean, that's not one of the things we blow our horn about, but we love the local theaters here, and when we have room in our program, we want to, give them an ad. When the group is starting up in Thousand Oaks, we put them in our e-blast. We like to do that, but our public efforts are with the U.S. military, which is kind of unique in the nation, our support for the military and the level that we do it, and entertaining senior centers and our animal rescue, as well as the kids' arts programs. And you're right, it's going to be missed so much. I don't think people are going to realize the void until there's the void. And it's always sad when that happens. So you're right. I mean, I like to think we're a lot more than just a theater company. And Misty and Kevin, who are there, will tell you they're sharing the stage with 44 other performers, many of whom are local, many of whom have grown up in the community on our stage, or not even grown up yet, and have big futures because there's a Cabrillo Music Theater. And when I get misty-eyed, no pun to Misty, but when I get sad, it's because I'm thinking about those next group of kids, the ones who aren't in this show and aren't in Little Mermaid, but would have had their shot in Peter Pan or a future show, and where's the opportunity for them? I think that's where I'm grieving the most. Mm-hmm.
Well, we're right here with you, and this is why we're doing this today. Tell our audience, Lewis, this what you're doing next, of course, with the Children of Eden is something very special because it's a show that is not done very often and belongs to the composer and music of both lyrics and music, Stephen Schwartz. So this is a very special outing for people to be able to see something like this, which was done in 1991 when it first came out. So tell us about the massiveness of it. I know it's a big show, and basically the story.
It's a big show. It's never been performed professionally in this area, and that's why we thought it was time to give it an airing. And of course, it's Stephen Schwartz's favorite of his musicals. It's a story about family and generations, and it takes the stories of Adam and Eve, Cain and Abel, and Noah and the Flood as a vehicle to tell these stories. We've had so many long talks in rehearsal and reflecting on our relationships with our spouses and partners and our kids and our parents, and we find that you see yourself in almost every facet of this show. And so, of course, that makes it sound really serious, but it's got a lot of humor and a lot of warmth and humanity. I think what's really special about it is it takes these iconic stories from the Bible and makes them human. And it takes the emotions that real humans feel and it overlays them on the characters. And I just think it's unique in theater in that way. And we got the full cast. We got the full original orchestrations. I just came from the orchestra rehearsal. And I'm so incredibly excited about this show. I think audiences are going to be blown away by it. I really do. And I think it couldn't be better timed with what we're going through right now, because it is such a human show and deals with so many big issues of life.
Well, I can't wait to see it myself, and certainly we're going to tell other people here listening to the show and our friends and about how easy it is to come out there. And tickets, yep. Tickets can be purchased at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza box office located at 2100 Thousand Oaks Boulevard in Thousand Oaks, or through any Ticketmaster location, or by telephone 800-745-3000. You can get tickets ranging from starting at $35 and upwards for a special event like this. That's just the best when you can go to the theater and spend $35 and see something that you'll remember the rest of your life.
Yes. Can I say two quick things before you jump onto the real stars of the show?
Yeah.
One is that this Saturday we're having a social media takeover by our cast. We're doing it during our orchestra cast rehearsal, and we'll be on all the social media platforms. So anybody wants to check out our Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope. I don't even know what some of these things are, but we're going to be on them all, and that's the cast is going to be doing it. But here's the message. This is the moral of the story, and Kevin and Misty know this because we've been talking about it, but the arts need to be supported on both ends. And we as a community get in the habit of wanting our tickets for free. And I, having stood on stage now for 5 years, asking people to support Cabrillo by buying season tickets or buying single tickets, I will never see a show for free again. And anybody who can afford to, put your money in the community of the arts, whatever theater it is, and support it. I mean, right now there's big debates about actors and should actors be making a living and a living wage, and the other end of that telescope is supporting what you see. And then you can be better expected to get support for what you do. So whatever happens with Cabrillo, and I hope it's a happy ending, I just hope that people will, if they can afford to, if it's possible, go see theater and support it by paying for it. Because that's what's going to keep companies like ours in business. So that's my pitch.
Very true.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Lewis.
Lewis, thank you so much. There's nobody like you out there in the theater community here that has the passion that you do. So thank you for all of these many years.
We love
years.
What we do, and I'm so grateful that at this moment, that as I'm dealing with this, that I have friends like Misty and Kevin who are in this show along with Norman Large. They are role modeling for this cast how to be professionals and how to be leaders. And when I announced this to the cast Sunday night, these two people were the first two people to come over to me and hug me and hold me up when I was going to fall, and I love them.
Wow. Well said, sir. We will do our best here today to get as many people to buy tickets as we possibly can. So
I would love to people come celebrate our 22 years in the Civic Arts Plaza. I will visit with everyone in the lobby. We'll take photos. It'll be reunion every show, April 8th through the 17th.
All right, sir.
Lewis, we're going to let you go now. We're going to spend the rest of this time talking about what an amazing show Children of Eden is and what a great production it's going to be, because I'm personally very excited about this show. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you. Have a great time.
Thank you, Lewis.
Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye-bye.
What a lovely, lovely man.
Indeed.
He is. Boy, oh boy. So I'm getting really emotional about this now, to think that something like that that's been built up for so many years, for 10 years, and just has the opportunity, the unfortunate opportunity of saying goodbye to the rest of the cultural scene here in Los Angeles is just not right. So
one of the things that I've noticed is that as you look at their performances, and they're always top-notch. Cabrillo does not do anything that's not top-notch, and that started with Ray and with Cindy and all their board of directors, as well as, of course, the amazing artists they bring in. But it really is a trickle-down. They have young performers who come in, Ashley and Taylor Thomas, who I know are your show, wonderful little performances who learn the bones of theater, learn how to walk the boards, and then they go out and they do other jobs, and they grow in L.A. theater. If you don't support groups that do this good work on a local scale, you end up compromising the product that you get eventually in all other theaters as well. So Cabrillo really does serve not only Thousand Oaks, but all of L.A. theater. It'd be a loss to lose them.
Absolutely. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to move on to one of the stars of this production, and she's been with us before on the State of the Arts.
She told me she was the star of the production, just so Kevin knows.
Oh,
she said
my.
That.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting my notes wrong here.
Lies.
Oh, lies. Having co-starred in their productions of The Marvelous Wonderettes and Happy Days, our next guest was most recently seen in the hit production of Carrie the Musical as Margaret at the L.A. Marauders. at the La Mirada Theater for the Performing Arts and downtown at the Los Angeles Theater. And when I said having co-starred in their productions at the top of that introduction, I meant Cabrillo Music Theater, of course. She also recently performed the one-woman song and dance show in Is it the one-woman song and dance show or yours?
Oh, no, it's song and dance. Tell Me on a Sunday. The one that Bernadette Peters did back in the 80s, basically.
Oh, yes, of course. Yeah. Okay. That one in Santa Barbara at the Ensemble Theater Company. Broadway and national tour credits include Miss Saigon as Ellen, Les Miserables as Eponine, and Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat as narrator opposite... Oh, wait for it. Mm-hmm. Donny Osmond. Yes, one of the nicest people on the planet. And off-Broadway, she appeared in The Marvelous Wonderettes as Missy. She has also appeared as the witch at the Utah Shakespeare Festival's production of Into the Woods, the L.A. premiere of Sideshow as Violet for the award-winning Colony Theater, who's also having some trouble. A Little Night Music as Petra, and at Orange County's acclaimed South Coast Repertory Theater, for which she won a Best Actress Award from the Los Angeles Drama Critics Circle. Other work includes outstanding co-starring performances in Tommy, The Last 5 Years, and the titled role of Annie in Annie Get Your Gun. Give it up for Miss Misty Cotton.
Oh, right on cue. Fans are flying in through the windows again. My goodness. Misty, how are you? Thank you for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Are you excited about this production?
Oh, I'm so excited. It's such a wonderful piece. I love the music in the show, and I can see why Stephen Schwartz loves it and says it's his favorite. Yeah, it's just lovely. It's lovely to revisit it. I had the chance to do it many, many, many moons ago with my co-star Kevin McMahon, as well as the director Lewis Wilkenfeld.
Wonderful.
So it's nice. That was in Utah. Mm-hmm.
He directed that production.
He did.
As well?
Yes. Oh, really? Yes.
Okay. That's weird. I don't remember him calling to ask me to be in it.
I know.
I must not have had my phone on that week, I assume. What an amazing production. That sounds great. How long ago was that?
I don't even want to say.
Was it in the actual Garden of Eden?
I'm looking at Kevin. I think it might have been about 13 years ago.
Unbelievable. What a great thing to revisit it.
Yeah.
After those years.
And fantastic. Because it is such, I mean, it speaks about so many different aspects of life as we have as children, as adults, as you have aging parents, you know, different things like that. Different things resonate with you at different times, so it's really lovely to be a different person with different life experience now, hearing things for the first time, or maybe viewing something a little bit differently than I would have before.
Sure.
So, yeah, it's lovely.
Now, being that it was in Utah, we were talking a little bit before we went on the air, so it was a different feeling that was about the show by the community there because of its own beliefs?
No, I don't know what people are feeling about it here, but I felt it was very well received there, from what I recall. And really embraced by the community. And it's, definitely a faith-based community. But the show, despite the fact that it's, derivative of the Bible, it's really, you can really take it in the way that you see it, but it's really about relationships.
Right.
And like Lewis said, humanizing these characters, because there's stories there that, I like to say the Bible is timeless like Shakespeare. I mean, those stories, although they can seem when you're reading them in the form, sometimes alienating, but when you try to put them to our standards, it's crazy. We're dealing with the same things.
Yeah.
That they dealt with back then. And it's kind of shocking when you're like, oh, they were writing about that back then, you know? So it is really, really special. But it's about life. It's not even really about the Bible. It's about stages of life and joys and sorrows and all those things and the power that we have as people to view it in a way and to make our own choices, and that all choices have consequences.
Right.
And things like that. So it's really, really a beautiful story. And I can't even listen to the CD without crying.
Wow.
It's just beautiful. The orchestrations are beautiful. And Stephen Schwartz did a lovely job on
now
the show.
He's described it, of course, Stephen Schwartz has as one of his favorite that he's ever composed. And I think that it's fascinating to look at it because it's also not his best-known work, which is interesting. Can you tell me a little bit about what the style of the show is for people who haven't seen it before? I know it's obviously a touching show, but there's comedy as well. There's some funny parts as well that are really great.
Yeah, there's a definite lightness to it as well and a comedy. And style, I mean, it's definitely modern. And I guess you could almost say that Stephen Schwartz takes almost every song style. And, you know, you have a gospel number.
Right.
You have a sort of a folk-sounding number. And, you know, you certainly do hear, you know, certain things where you go, oh, that's Wicked. Oh, he stole that from himself to put that in Wicked, you know, or whatever. Or someone say, oh, that's like Godspell. But, you know, of course you're going to have with a writer, so, you know, a tone or style. But it's all different kinds of styles.
It's fantastic.
And then, of course, one of your castmates who's one of my favorite actors, because he's like a chameleon, Norman Large.
Yes, amazing.
Who just slips into any role like it's a glove that's made for him.
Yeah, and he makes it his own, definitely makes it his own. He's very unique, so gifted, so talented. I mean, to be able to work with Norman and Kevin and the wonderful cast, it's amazing. I mean, and for those of you who don't know Norman Large, I mean, his theatrical pedigree is quite extensive. The original company of Les Miserables on Broadway, mm-hmm. Phantom of the Opera. He's done Sweeney Todd many places. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And if
and
people
a
don't,
great voice
if
and a
some
great
of
actor.
Our listeners don't know those things, he also did guest starring roles on Star Trek. So
mm-hmm.
that should make you feel good enough to go
all
to the theater.
All those Trekkies
and see
out there, come on out.
From the Enterprise to the Garden of Eden, pretty amazing.
Exactly. Where does this show rank on the scale of all of the things that you've done in your career so far?
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. I've done some really awesome things and I love them. It's like your children, right? Mm-hmm. Say, I can't tell you which one I've loved most.
Oh, I can tell you.
don't say it on here. You can't. You got to keep that one close to your vest. I don't know. It's definitely, it's such a gift. I feel so thankful to be doing this again and that Lewis gave me this opportunity and to be doing it with Kevin again. And I feel like it's different. Definitely very, very different. It's a gift, it's wonderful, and it's very heartwarming to me. Mm-hmm. That's the way I feel about it. And it's such a ensemble piece and the kids, oh my gosh. Adorable, great, some really talented, you know, mm-hmm. young kids, some old young adults that you're gonna be very surprised. We have quite a few in this cast that are gonna really shine and, you know, future stars of tomorrow.
When you say that you feel it's different this time, is that because of the fact that you are older and wiser and more seasoned as a performer, or does it just have a different feeling all over, maybe compounded by what Gabriel's actually going through as well? Maybe that's a little bit that's playing into that.
Well, I think the first time I did it, I didn't really... Well, I knew when I finally got there and worked on it, and like... we were saying before, it was Fast and Furious. Kevin and I were saying this before. It was really a Fast and Furious kind of situation. You get thrown into it, and you're like, oh, that was really special. I knew the music was special. I knew I was moved, but it happened so quickly that it was really, I was really looking forward to this and being able to rehearse it longer. I mean, I'm able to really fine-tune things and really be present. So I think that's what it is. And yes, of course, hearing the news with Cabrillo and everything. And also, this show is very, very special to Lewis, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Over the years, he's talked about wanting to do this show ever since he had done it before in Utah, to do it again. And so this is, you know, really special to him, too. And for all of this going on and everything like that, I think it's a comfort and a source of joy. So, yeah, I think it's probably a whole bunch of things altogether.
Last question from me, at least, for Misty. What made you start your interest in performing? How old were you, and how did it happen?
You know, I kind of sort of always knew. I was my family didn't know. They're like, where did this come from? Inside, I was like, I think I want to act. But I actually didn't really know I could sing until very later in my life. But I started dancing. I had a joy for dancing, and I would take dance class and all that kind of stuff. So I did dancing, then I took acting, and singing was actually later. So I just kind of always knew, but then I really, by the time I was about 12 or 13, from getting experiences performing and things like that and getting positive feedback from people who believed in me,
mm-hmm.
That was important to me. And that just, you know, goes to show how important is support and your words and your support of other people and letting them know, especially kids, you know, and supporting them and letting them know that they have something is important.
Where do you think you got your musical talent from?
You know, my dad is actually a beautiful singer, and he would never sing in public or anything like that, but really has a really lovely voice, and my mom has great pitch. I mean, and I just think I got it from both sides of my family, but my dad really does have a lovely voice.
Siblings?
I do. I have two siblings, and my younger brother sings and plays guitar, and again, he was sort of a late bloomer, too. We all didn't know. All of a sudden, he breaks out this guitar and starts singing, and so he has a voice, and I'm sure my older brother's shyer, but I've heard him singing in the shower, and he's pretty good.
That's sweet. Well, what a departure from the last time you were in this studio playing the mother in Carrie to now playing one of the most famous women in the world.
Well, I was berating Eve. Eve was weak, and now yes. I'm playing her. I mean, how often do you get to do that?
Versatility, my friend.
You know?
Not very often. Okay, so.
Would you hang around with us for the next few minutes?
While we talk
would
love to.
Thank you.
Right.
Our next guest most recently appeared in L.A.'s premiere of Sondheim on Sondheim at the International City Theater in Long Beach, California. For the previous 6 years, he was featured in the musical phenomenon Wicked. Other major credits include national tours of City of Angels, The Fantastics, Forever Plaid, and the off-Broadway revival of Little Moon of Albin. For favorite regional credits include Ovation-nominated The Full Monty for Musical Theater West in Long Beach, Sweeney Todd at the Sacramento Music Circus, and the Rocky Horror Picture Show, both at the Tropicana Hotel in Las Vegas and the Henry Fonda Theater here in Los Angeles. He has also appeared in A Little Night Music for South Coast Repertory at the Center Theater Group's Amundsen Theater at the Los Angeles Music Center. A Boston Conservatory graduate, he has also appeared in film, television, and commercials, and is a recording artist whose acclaimed solo CD, Mirror, is available on iTunes. Please welcome Kevin McMahon.
Thanks.
Yeah. Welcome, Kevin. Good to have you here.
Good to be here. Thank you.
Are those her fans, too? Do they come to support you
both? I think they did. They're
very
nice.
Holdovers. What a great thing that we get to talk about this show, because there is so much material here. Can you tell me about your perspective of playing this role and how you came about? I mean, what do you do to study for this part? There's no research you can do that's going to be qualified.
The father of humanity, what do you do to study?
Right.
Misty was mentioning a minute ago how it's been different for us this time around, and I would concur with that, because I think last time we did the show, it was a while ago, and it was like clearly a generation ago for me. It was 10 years ago or more. And I'm a different person now, and I think Misty might be a different person now. And so we're looking at these roles from a different perspective. So but by having a little maturity, last time I had to put gray into my hair for the second act, and this time I'll be taking it out for the first act. So so it's just a different perspective on the show. It is a timeless piece and a timeless role, of course. But looking at Adam and his growth and the incredible character arc that he has, it's a gift. And I'm, as Misty said, I'm so grateful for Lewis for sharing this with me again.
This show is, of course, an allegory. But, Michael, for me, I love the music. I mean, the music will stick with you. If you haven't had a chance to go online, Google a couple of the small snippets that are available, and you will fall in love with the music of this show. It really is fantastic to listen to.
Well, and you know, there's so many. I'm sure that here's what I'm thinking or seeing in my mind's eye is you know, we're talking about Noah and you know that part of the Book of Genesis. And is all of this happening with the Ark and all of these things? Are people going to see this?
It's all happening with the Ark. I mean, in the Bible, you get. I mean, I finally you know actually went back and read the chapters of Genesis. This story comes from,
right.
And it's very very small.
Right.
It's couple of pages in the Bible, and you've just given tiny little outlines of these characters. So we have so much to go from. I mean, Noah, for example, is usually portrayed as a buffoon, this idiot who's building this ark, and his community is making fun of him. We don't approach it that way in the show.
Mm-hmm.
He's a man of great passion, of great faith. He is focused on the one thing that he knows is his mission. And it's a different perspective than you're going to see elsewhere.
Mm-hmm. But it's, I mean, being that you have 44, a company of 44 plus yourselves, that's huge.
We have the animals. They come to Eden, and then they get on the ark.
Speaking of Eden, this is a little aside. I don't know whether this is 100% true, but when I was in South Africa, I went to Cape Town. And it is, legend has it that that is where the Garden of Eden is located.
Really?
You think, have you heard that mm-hmm. yourself? Any truth to that, do you think, Andrew?
I don't know. I mean, to me, I've always thought of it as something that we're not supposed to know. I've always thought that it doesn't matter, but wouldn't that be amazing to find the actual location? I'm always fascinated by that. And, you know, biblical artifacts and historical artifacts that are found to give some linking from all that history to what we're going through now, I think that's fascinating.
Well all they have to do is look for fig trees, right?
Which is that all? One half of the apples
alone. And will we be seeing fig leaves in the costuming of this show?
You will not.
Okay, well, another show, another time.
That's the full Monty, really.
Oh, yes, that's right. Yes, that's right. At any rate, the fact that the two of you are doing this again must be kind of thrilling because, I mean, the moments are different, the beats are different now. And
it's completely. The other day we were doing a scene and we discovered something in running through the show that I had never tried in rehearsal and we tried it. It was a moment that was so right and so real that we had never discovered before. And it's going to stay in the show.
Nice. I love those moments.
How much leeway does a director like Lewis give to his actors?
A lot.
Yes?
He trusts us.
Yes?
And he'll dial us back or ramp us up as necessary, but he lets us go in rehearsal. It's very, very safe environment.
That's wonderful. Yeah. Not every director has that kind of mentality.
I loved the theater you're working in, the Cavalli. It's such an amazing space to see a show. So, I mean, one of the things that in Los Angeles we get very used to is going to a very small theater or even a nice theater that has a very small seat where you're very uncomfortable. You walk into that space and you feel like you're in a palace watching the kings and queens of theater. So is it a joy to fill that house and see it fill to the rafters and then feel that energy that comes from those people?
It will be. I've done a couple of shows there before. I did a production of Forever Plaid maybe 10 years ago, maybe 11 years ago there, and it was full because that show always sells out.
Of course.
Out.
Yeah,
it's a great space. Acoustics
in that
great.
Particular theater?
Yeah, we played it in the big theater.
Did you do it with David Engel and Larry
David
Rabin?
David was in it. Larry directed it.
I see.
Steve Gunderson, George Mazurlis. Yeah. I've done a lot of plaids.
Yeah, yeah. I bet you have. David is doing the full Monty with us, actually, as Harold. You know what I'd love over there, because it's such a nice complex, is the Forum Theater.
The Forum's a beautiful little space.
What a great space that is.
Very well run. Yeah.
Just the perfect size. It's a great stage. I saw Forum there that was done with Larry Rabin in mm-hmm. the cast. And what a great time. I had never seen that show.
Wow.
Hard to believe, right? But I have never seen that show.
Wasn't that a funny show? I mean, I don't think I stopped laughing the entire time.
Hilarious. I had no idea. I think I was getting it confused originally with The Boys from Syracuse, which I did see and I wasn't too crazy about. And I had some reluctance in my mind, but then once I arrived there, I was just very taken aback. So I had a wonderful time there. What is the... Misty this. She said she couldn't really answer it specifically. Where does this rank for you in all of the amazing work you've done in your career?
He means this radio show here with us today. Something we like to ask our guests. We want to know a little bit.
We can pull a quote here.
Oh,
and there,
at the top, of course. Children of Eden, for me, truly up there with the top shows. It is because of the role and because of the show. It is such a rangy part for me, and it's so challenging, and I'm so grateful for it. The only thing comparable for me is playing Frankenfurter and Rocky Horror.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
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 Kevin and I recently had a cup of coffee, and this is a man who never stops working. His whole life's career has been in this area. And he has played many roles in Wicked. But how do you sustain yourself in a show like that for 6 years? I mean, playing the different roles, I'm sure, helps. But that's a lot of very focused work that you have to do.
Well, it is a focused work.
Especially when you're moving from city to city.
And that moving actually helped with that, because every month would be a new city, something to look forward to. So the city would be fresh. You'd be meeting new people in every city, the new dressers, the new crew. We had a lot of cast changeover on our tour, which kept things very fresh. I don't know if it was an intentional on the creative's part to keep moving people in and out of these roles, but the show never ever stale. And I look at it as my job. my focus is to keep the show fresh and to be present at every performance. And, you know, doing a nice featured role in the show, plus covering the two principal adult males in the show, was a challenge, but it you know, something that I really enjoyed. I like a long run. It was security, and, you know, it's nice to be in a huge hit. That's a lot of fun.
I was going to try that sometime in my career, a huge hit. I don't know. I thought just once, you know, get something a little bit different in there.
I mean, you get to a city and the entire run is sold out. There's no tickets available to anyone except for the lottery.
And it just keeps going and going and going.
It does. And there's a reason for it. It's a great musical.
Yes, it is. And it's extraordinary to look at as well. I mean, it's a wonderful story, and you get very involved in it. But I've seen it, I think, three times already, and each time is like the first time. Mm-hmm. I see something that I missed the second time or whatever. And a lot of our stage star kids, you know, have gone into this show. It seems to be a calling to those kids. And, the young Jonah Platt. Do you know Jonah?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you do. Jonah Platt was in our LA's Next Great Stage Star competition a few years back. We never knew who his father was. Who is Mark Platt.
Ah, okay.
And he was very quiet about that. And the only time that I became suspicious of something was that he had to miss one of the competition weeks and he explained this to me very quietly and kind of didn't really want anybody else to know. He said, you know, I'm not going to be able to be here for that week. I said, man, this is like coming down to the wire of getting into the finale. He said, my father is a very persuasive person. And he said, and he has a Learjet, and he's taking all of us to the Super Bowl in New Orleans on Super Bowl Sunday. And there's about 25, 27 of us in the family that are going on this trip. And he's got a great big box in the Super Bowl. And I said, well, what can I say? I said, and not a seat for me?
Right.
Really? So he went and came back. And I said, so how was it? He said, it was amazing, really amazing. He said, I'm so sorry. I was kind of kicking myself all the way there that I didn't get to compete. And I said, can I ask you a question? Who is your dad? And he said, Mark Platt. You might have heard of him. He's the producer of Wicked. And I said, and what? And Jonah has had no help from his father in the most respectful way.
Right.
Mark has left him to his own talent and his own devices on doing whatever he wants to do in his career. But he was finally hired to play Fiero on Broadway.
Fantastic.
And he's just in the throes of finishing that run right now.
That's amazing.
Yeah, and he's a good-looking boy and a very talented performer and actor, singer, and his brother is too, who's also been in that show. So
wow, Michael, I have a desire.
What is that?
Thank you for asking. I'm so glad finally someone did. They usually say leave the room immediately.
Rate that or what?
I want to embarrass these two seasoned actors. I want them to tell us something about their lives that is so terrifying. Some performance moment that you've had. We do this for all our people we baptize on this show. Something that happened that will help us all feel more in the theater family with live performance than some of the embarrassing moments that can happen on stage.
Funny, serious.
Nudity is allowed.
Nudity.
So extra points, actually.
Yeah. Well, I could give you the nudity one.
Kevin brightened up immediately.
I was doing a production of The Full Monty. I'd done it at Musical Theater West, and I shortly after I did it down in San Diego Musical Theater, also another great group, great community group. And
yes, it is.
Doing wonderful things in San Diego County. And the lighting person missed that final cue. And if you don't know the show, at the very last moment of the show, all the men drop their G-strings, and the lights are supposed to reflect from behind the actors to blind the audience. Well, the lights did not go on. And so there was a couple of seconds before the lights went on that the audience got more than their money's worth. So that was
that's very subjective, I suppose. Yeah.
or less than.
Oh, my gosh. Are you saying terrifying or funny or
anything happened to you that you feel would be maybe help some of our younger, because we have a lot of young performers who listen to State of the Arts here on LA Talk Radio, something that will kind of show that we're all in the same boat in this business.
Oh boy. Well, you know, one of the actors' nightmares is, you know, forgetting your lines, going blank, which happens, you know. those moments, you know, when you taste the silver in your mouth with the adrenaline, the blood comes up. You're like, oh, what's my next line? Even shows you've done forever. But I think, I mean, that's happened to me before. You paraphrase. But how do you paraphrase Shakespeare?
Oh, my goodness.
I was at Utah Shakespeare Festival years and years ago, and I was one of the witches in Macbeth. I don't remember. I mean, you know, double toil and trouble. Everybody knows that, right? And
right.
These iconic things. I can't tell you. I'm whatever. I go up and I don't know what I said. I wish it was recorded because I just babbled. I'm like, I'm a witch. I can get away with anything. Paraphrasing Shakespeare. Just completely, I don't know what happened. I mean, people were losing it backstage. I'm like, please tell me what I said. But it's terrifying.
It is terrifying.
It's absolutely terrifying.
But how did you?
And it's hilarious. I mean, I don't know what came out of my mouth. I probably paraphrased what the meaning was and kind of tried to rhyme Shakespeare. Who knows? Honestly, I don't. It's like you become blank. But it was hilarious. I mean, what are you going to do? It was hilarious. I thought that's one of the worst nightmares ever.
Utah Shakes, you will have people there who have the play memorized.
You've got to be careful. You're They're right. crazy. Yeah. Henry Warrens, who's like a scholar, he was playing Macbeth. He was like, thought it was the funniest thing ever. And it was. But it was terrifying. And again, it's a nightmare. But I'd say that's one of the scariest
That is, it's terrifying.
Moments, you know?
Yep.
But yeah.
We're doing a show right now, Shakespeare and the Beatles, up in Thousand Oaks. And I've done a scene from Taming of the Shrew where I play Petruchio. And I've done it multiple times. And each time it's cut differently. So I have to memorize not just the lines, but each and every cut that we do that fits each different show. And, of course, I mean, you get started on Shakespeare, you can't stop. And I will occasionally look down at my watch and think, I've been saying far too many lines today and realize that I missed some of the cuts and just keep rolling. That can be Shakespeare is a daunting thing when you get lost in the middle of it because it just starts rolling.
Or like Kevin. I was just going to say, Kevin could probably just say he just did a Sondheim.
Did
like
a
the
Sondheim.
Minute you're doing a patter song or something and you get off, you're
so
screwed.
True.
Once you're off that train.
I just finished a Sondheim down at ICT, and it was one of the most difficult rehearsal periods of my life because it can't be wrong. It has to be exact.
Yeah.
In rhythm and in lyric, and it was daunting and terrifying. We didn't have too many mishaps. I had a couple things I did, kind of changed a verse around, which you can kind of get away with. But if you go up in Sondheim, you are.
You may hear from him.
And they're story songs. You can't go back and repeat a verse. That's true.
Right.
Mike, I want to bring people behind the curtain. Are you ready for this?
Okay.
I've been sitting in for the amazing Paul Strolley 3 or 4 shows here, and I have never had our computer light up the way it has today. We've been getting calls ever since Lewis called in. We've been getting calls, and maybe it's just Lewis calling back to get angry and say, hey, look, I want to say something else. But we've been getting calls, I assume, from a number of people here who want to comment on Cabrillo and what's going on. We've had 12 different numbers pop up. Of course, we don't take calls on the air, but I wanted to, and we'll take some of those after we close here, but I wanted to take a minute here and tell people how they can donate to Cabrillo, how they can get tickets, and really focus on that information so people can support this amazing company.
Absolutely. You going to do that?
I can. So, ladies and gentlemen, Children of Eden, of course, opens on Friday, April 8th. And if you want to find out how to get tickets there, you can, of course, just first of all, Google Children of Evil. Children of Evil. That's a different show. Children of Eden at the Cavalli Theater in Thousand Oaks, put up by Cabrillo Music Theater. And you can, of course, always visit the box office at the Thousand Oaks Civic Arts Plaza. Or you can call 800-745-3000. 800-745-3000. But I'd also encourage you to go on Facebook and go ahead and put in Cabrillo Music Theater and see their Facebook page. Write them a note. Say you'd like to donate. Find a way to get in touch with them because this is a company we don't want to lose here in Southern California.
Absolutely. And if you don't have $35 for a ticket, which is, you know, chump change to go to this kind of a production, really, and you know you spend that on things that have nothing to do with anything, you can always, as Andrew said, make a donation of a lesser amount of money, but anything helps, really, at this particular point. So don't be shy about that. And as we say often on this program, put down your remote, put down the cell phone, and go out and see live theater and have a personal experience that you can't have in any other way.
That's exactly right. And above all, if you're in a cast right now in the local area, if you're at CLU or if you're at Pepperdine or one of the schools up around there, and you want to go see how to do musical theater in a Broadway style, go see Children of Eden. Enjoy these two amazing stars and this cast. You will not be disappointed. Driving is easy, parking is easy, and tons of restaurants right around there. Get out and see some theater and enjoy what you're going to do for the rest of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have come to that time, Andrew.
We have.
Right?
We have indeed.
The end of this show. Misty and Kevin, thank you so much for doing this. And I know that you're in the probably going right from here to rehearsal, I would assume, sometime soon.
Yeah. We appreciate it, guys.
You're welcome back.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
We will be there.
Great.
Michael, I'm going to miss you going forward. I won't be here next week, but I want to say thank you to you for letting me sit in Paul's chair, and a big thank you to Paul for calling me in. And
yes,
I hope
thank you, Paul Sterling.
Enjoys having him back and hearing his amazing voice. I'm Andrew James, and thank you for listening to State of the Arts.
And I'm Michael Sterling. See you on the radio.
Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle, right here on LA Talk Radio.